the song, "The Christ is a Steadfast Anchor in the Middle of the Storm," it ties so well into tonight's message. We're going to be in chapter 14. Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And when you find your place, if you'll stand in honor of God's word, before I read the verses, I just want to take a moment. I want to thank Pastor for giving me this opportunity. Pastor and Brother David and many other men in this church have really invested in me, and it's been amazing being able to serve God and to grow and having men that take that opportunity to invest. And I'm so thankful for all of you. And I'm also extremely thankful for this church. You have really given my family and myself a place that we can call home, and a place that we love being. And when we're away, we can't wait to get back. So thank you so much. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. This is a familiar story. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?' And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, 'Of a truth, thou art the Son of God.'" Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for an opportunity to be within your word and to be with your people. Father, I know that there are truths here that you want each one of us to hold in our heart. And I ask that you would allow me to give a clear message, to be concise and only say the things that you want. I'm thankful for this church and the opportunity. And I just ask that you would speak through me tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I want to start with a story. Some of you know this account. I told it to you. It was this past December. Me and my wife, we always go back to our family. They live in West Virginia. And so we travel back and we stay there for a couple weeks for Christmas. And my father-in-law, he is such a huge blessing to me and to my family. Every time he comes out to visit us, I feel like all he does is work. He just comes and he helps me with projects, things that I have no idea how to do, which is a lot. And he just helps me get those done. And I just really want to be a blessing. And I asked him, I said, "What are some things that you want to accomplish that need to be done at your house?" He has really been such a great example in my life of how to be a godly man and a godly father and a godly husband. And I just really want to give back to him. So I asked him, I said, "What do you want to do? What needs to get done?" And the big thing was they needed to rerun a gas line. You see, my father-in-law, his dad had built these houses up on top of this mountain, and he placed a gas line in, and it was not to code. Nothing about it was correct. And it was running to multiple houses off of one source, so by the time I got to my father-in-law's house, they had no pressure. So we had to go up to where the gas well was, and we had to run a line to their, break it off directly from the well and run it to their house. Well, the problem when somebody puts the line in, the gas company has no idea where it's at. So you can't just call them and say, "Hey, come mark before we dig." We have to find where this line is. So we wake up one day and we go out with shovels in hand, and we start from a house where the line was coming down, and we're trying to follow it out. So we're digging in the ground, and we're trying to follow where this line goes to where it breaks off to go to their house, to where we can tie off of there and tie directly into the well. We start off very careful. You know, when you're digging for a gas line, you have to be careful because you don't want to hit it. So we're being very careful, paying attention, digging, following the line, digging around carefully. And everything's going okay. We work late into the night and it starts to rain. Well, we had just dug a bunch of holes trying to figure out where this line goes. Can't figure it out. It starts to rain, so we call it a night. Well, throughout that evening, our household came down with the flu. Woke up the next day extremely sick, tired, exhausted. But there was a job that still had to be done. We still needed to rerun this gas line. So we go back out. It's raining. All the holes that we had dug had filled up with mud. There's water. Can't see what we're working on. We're sick. I don't want to be there. I'm sure my father-in-law didn't want to be there. My brother-in-laws, they didn't want to be there. But we keep digging. The problem is, I didn't want to be there. I didn't feel good. So I got a little more careless. Digging a little bit faster. Just trying to get the job done. I figured if we find this gas line and we can rerun it, we just be done with this. I can go home and be sick and just lay in bed. So I'm digging. I'm using a trenching spade, which they're extremely sharp. And I'm digging. And next thing I know, I dig and I hear psh. Now listen, when you're digging for gas line, you do not want to hear that sound. You don't want to hear the sound of psh because it means you hit the line. Not great. But listen, the great thing is in West Virginia, they have highly advanced engineering that I don't think Texas has. And we placed a piece of duct tape over top of the line and it kept the gas flowing. So we were able to continue working. But you see, what happened was the circumstances of my life took my focus away from the line that the first day I was being so careful to pay attention to. I got sick. The weather was bad. Everything else started pulling at me, and my attention, I lost sight of that gas line, and I started paying attention to how sick I felt, to how cold it was, to how wet it was outside, to how muddy it was, how I didn't want to be there. And all of a sudden, the gas line wasn't as important, and I hit it. You see, this account of Matthew, it's not only fascinating, but it really gives us a playbook to be able to accomplish great things through Christ. It's also the first time in Scripture that we see the disciples as a collective acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God. If you recall from Matthew 8, when the disciples were in a boat with Christ and Christ was sleeping, the disciples became afraid because of a storm. Their first reaction was to wake Christ up because they feared they would die. They did, and Christ rebuked the winds and the sea, and everything became calm. The Bible tells us, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and sea obey him? In chapter 14, our verses tonight, the disciples knew exactly what manner of man this was, the Son of God. Today, I want us to look at three things that we can use in our daily lives to follow and better serve Christ. One, it is essential that we remember that peace is not found when the sea is calm, but rather it is found in the presence of Jesus. When the disciples thought they were alone without Christ in the middle of the storm, tired from a long, long day of serving, and they saw what they thought was a spirit approaching them on the water, they became fearful. Just as they had on the boat when Christ was asleep in chapter 8, fearful of their circumstances, of their surroundings. In both accounts, the disciples believed that they were without Christ, that he wasn't present. In chapter 8, he was asleep. Here, they believed he was still on the other side of the sea where they departed from him. Notice what Christ does first. He speaks to them saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. It is I. The name of God Almighty, I am. Christ is telling his disciples to not be afraid, that he is with them always, that because they are always in the presence of Christ, they should be in good cheer and not be fearful. They didn't find their peace because Christ stopped the storm and calmed the sea. They found their peace because they were in the presence of Jesus. Maybe today you are going through a storm and you feel like Christ is not with you. Maybe there's a trial happening in your life and you feel like everything is falling apart and you don't know what to do. The disciples found peace when Christ spoke to them. Are you allowing Jesus to speak to you? Are you praying and speaking to him? Are you reading your Bible and seeking God, seeking his truths for your life? You see, Christ never promised there would be no storms, but he did promise that he will always be with us. And because of this truth, we can have peace at all times, calm seas or not, being in the presence of Christ. Two, faith requires us stepping out of the boat. Peter was a man on fire for God. He loved Jesus with all of his heart. He had his ups and downs, but I personally love Peter because I see so many of my own tendencies in him. But you see, once Peter realized it was Jesus walking on the water and he received confirmation from Christ to come to him, Peter did not hesitate. He jumped out of the boat to get nearer to Christ. And listen, I know you have heard the story. You've heard it from a lot of people, and you've heard it from Pastor, and his perspective, he didn't get sick on the boat. But listen, I'm telling you, I have been on a boat, okay, when no man should have been on a boat. I don't know why the captain took us out. I've been on a boat when it felt like the waves were 20 feet high. Most likely, they probably weren't that high. But listen, I thought I was going to die that day, or I guess rather, I kind of just wanted to die and go see Christ because it seemed like a better solution than running to the edge of the boat every 2 minutes. But I can tell you this. That day on the boat, there was no chance I was stepping off that boat. Not a single one. You see, on a calm day, when the weather's nice and we're swimming, I might try to run as fast as I can and see how far I can get across the pool. You know, anybody else do that? Try to see if you can run across the water. Doesn't work so well, but I'll do that. Sure, but in the middle of an ocean, a storm raging, waves out of control, zero chance. There's no way I'm stepping off that boat. Peter, on the other hand, he just jumped right out. You see, he lost sight of everything except Jesus. His circumstances, they did not change. He was still in the middle of a sea with a raging storm that the Bible describes as boisterous. Now, look, I don't know. My vocabulary isn't the best. I had to look this word up. I had no idea what it meant. I looked up the definition, but I'll tell you this. The first time that I read this word in God's word, I didn't even know what it meant, but I knew I wanted nothing to do with it. I knew that if there was a boisterous wind or a boisterous sea, it was not for me. I wanted to stay away. So, Brother Richie, please never take me out in the sea again in boisterous waves. But it didn't matter to Peter. The only thing he could see was his master, Jesus Christ, and he wanted to be near him. See, I don't know how many steps Peter took, and it really doesn't matter because the end result was the same. Once Peter lost focus of Christ and turned his attention to the wind and the sea, he became afraid again and began to sink. You see, he was drawn nearer to Christ, was closer than when he first stepped out of the boat. His circumstances were the exact same, raging, boisterous storm all around him in the middle of the sea. And when Christ was the center focus of his life, he walked on water. He did the impossible. But when he lost focus of Christ, he sank. Are you sinking? I realized in my life that I am either constantly moving towards Christ, growing in my faith and my walk with him, or I start to sink. There's no in between. When the only thing you can see is Jesus, you can do nothing else but move towards him. If you're going in the opposite direction, or even if just stopped in your tracks, not taking more steps to God, then you are sinking. Peter was physically sinking fast. But I love this. He turned his eyes and heart back to Christ and cried out for help. We serve such a great and loving God that even when he failed, or even when we fail, even when we take our eyes off of him and begin to sink, it only takes us crying out for him to reach down and pull us to safety. Jesus saved Peter immediately. There was no speech beforehand. He didn't tell Peter, oh, you of little faith, you should sink for a while to learn your lesson. No, he pulled him out and brought him back to safety before he addressed Peter's lack of faith. You see, this is something as a parent that I struggle with, and I'm so thankful that our God doesn't do this to us. See, when my kids, when they do something and they stumble and get themselves into trouble, my first reaction is to address their actions. It's to discipline them immediately. But Christ's first action was love to save Peter. Yes, he corrected Peter after, but love was first. It's important to note that Christ tells Peter, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? This was directed at Peter alone. It was not directed at all the disciples in the boat. You see, Peter may have doubted and began to sink, but he still walked on water. He still walked on water when the other disciples did not, because he took the step off the boat. The rest of the disciples in that boat had no faith. And because of it, that day, they did not experience such an impossible miracle. We can trust Christ that when we take that step off of the boat, take that step of faith, that even if we fall, he's there to catch us. Christ will do impossible things through all of us when we are fully surrendered in trust in him. When you take that step into the unknown, stepping out into a raging sea, Christ is there. As we step, we must also remember it's not how well we run the race, but how we finish. If Peter would have never lost sight of Christ, he would have never sank. And how much different this account would have been. Take that first step off the boat, but continue to take steps towards Christ and watch him do something amazing through you. Number three, worship should always be our response. See, once Christ pulled Peter out of the sea, they returned to the ship. Immediately the wind ceased. In the final verse in this account, it's really the climax of this whole story. Then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." The focus isn't on the miracle of Christ walking on water. It wasn't on the miracle of Peter walking on water. It's not even on Christ calming the sea. It was the response of the disciples, which was worship in Jesus Christ, recognizing who Jesus is. Our Lord and Savior, God who came in the flesh to die for our sins and give us a way to have a relationship with him. All of the disciples' attention and focus was brought back to Jesus. You see, when you follow Christ and put your faith in him, he will remove all fears and he will do the impossible through you. Because of who Christ is, he deserves our worship, our complete focus. For us to take the step off the boat towards him and allow him to do the impossible in our lives. You see, just as I had lost focus on the gas line in West Virginia and caused a big job to be even bigger, because you see, once I cut that line, where I cut the gas line at was exactly where we just needed to be to reroute it and just run a split into the line right there. But because I cut it there, we had to dig another 20, 30 feet, which caused us to actually have to bring some equipment in because it was too big of a job and it took multiple extra days where we would have been done in a day and I could have been sick in my own bed and been miserable, happily miserable. But instead I had to keep working out in the cold. It turned a big job into a bigger job. And that's exactly what happens when you lose sight of Christ in your life. You begin to sink. You end on a path that you never intended to go, causing more work and effort to get back to the place that Christ wants you to be. If that's you today, where you feel like you are sinking, or maybe you are stuck in the boat and have never had the faith to take the step into the raging sea, I encourage you at the end or in our time of invitation to come and pray, to ask God to give you courage to get back on track, to turn your eyes and your heart back to Jesus. Maybe you're sitting here this afternoon and you cannot recall a time in your life when you've ever trusted Jesus with your salvation. In this talk about the raging seas and ships and trusting Christ is all foreign to you. We'll have a time of invitation where there will be men and women standing up here that want nothing more than to show you in God's word how you can have a relationship with Christ and get your salvation settled today. This past week, me and Brother David, we traveled to Indiana to pick up Nathaniel from Bible school, and something had happened, and it reminded me of Pastor's sermon where he talked about the GPS saying, go left, go left, go left, and how you cannot miss God's direction and what he wants in your life. Well, traveling, I have no idea how to get to Indiana. I've traveled this way a lot, still don't know. We had GPS on where there was a couple times where between whether it was good conversation, and by good conversation, it was probably me talking David's ear off, or just being tired and driving later at night, we lost focus of the GPS and we missed our turn. Well, both times it took us over 30 minutes out of the way to get back to where we needed to go. You see, when you lose sight of Christ, it's the same thing. You're going to have to do a lot of backtracking to get back to where he wants you. When you have complete faith and follow Christ, he will remove all fear and he will do the impossible in your life. All eyes closed, all heads bowed.